Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
And here we go. Digital Adele back with another Digital Adele Hoops Beyond the Backboard podcast for you with my co-host, Matt Hannafin. How you been, Matt? Feels like forever, man.
Yeah, it has been. I mean, again, like we're now what? Less than a month away from training camp? Less than a month
away
from media day? Like
literally 30 days away from the first exhibition game.
Yeah, no, it's
wild.
Yeah. And we were talking about this off air a little bit. Summer League feels like eons ago.
Oh my goodness. I was telling you off air as well that it feels like I didn't even go. That's how long ago it was. Like, did I go to Summer League? But speaking of, we're going to be covering two teams today, bonus episode. And please pardon our dust, so to speak. Things are going to be a little bit off schedule for a little while till we can figure out a rhythm and get into our regular season form. So just like the NBA teams that are going to be gearing up for the exhibition season, you know, we're still trying to find our rhythm, find our fit for this next year of coverage that we're going to bring you. We're going to bring it to you. You know, just the schedule's a little funky right now. But yeah, don't forget to like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. I'm sure YouTube's going to nerf us in the algorithm because I haven't been posting regularly. But we're going to keep putting out the podcast. We're going to keep growing this thing. Big things are happening behind the scenes, not just with Digital Adele Hoops, but also with Five Reasons Sports Network, which I contribute to and Matt contributes to as well. So be on the lookout for all that good stuff. But today, we're talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers and their Tyrese Proctor pick from Duke, as well as this little known guy that not a lot of people have heard of from the Dallas Mavericks, who went number one overall in the 2025 NBA draft. Do you know who he is, Matt Hannafin?
It says right here, Cooper. I think that's his name. Cooper Flagg.
Cooper Flagg?
Yeah. Yeah.
Flagg. Flagg. Oh, Cooper Flagg. I've heard of that guy.
You got to emphasize the G's. There's
that's right.
G's.
That's right. I don't know how you would do that, but you should do that, Matt. What we're going to do today, though, we are going to talk about them, and we're going to start with Cleveland. And I know you guys want to talk about Cooper Flagg because he's super popular, super talented, but no, you got to wait. You got to wait and hang around. We're talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers here. And for all my Cleveland Cavalier fans and all the people that love, I mean, do people outside of Cleveland love the Cavaliers? I'm not sure.
You could probably find them.
I think you could find them. Let me know in the comments down below. Is there anybody outside of Cleveland that's like, I'm a Cleveland Cavalier fan? I need to know. Inquiring minds want to know. That's a very 1990s reference. A lot of people may not get it. But
including me.
Including Matt. And anyway, I digress. We're moving on. What do you think about the Tyrese Proctor pickup? And how do you think he did in summer league? And then we'll circle back around to his fit with Cleveland, if he, you know, how that's going to go throughout the season.
I thought this was excellent value for Cleveland. They got him, I think it was what, 49th?
Yeah.
He was like, I don't remember exactly where he was on my board, but I want to say he was like a fringe, like top 25 player. Again, the NBA draft in summer league feels like eons ago.
My goodness.
So, but in summer, I didn't think he played bad. Obviously, the shooting wasn't great. Like, he, you know, broke out as a junior at Duke this last season. Right. He only shot 29% during summer league, albeit in just four games. He had his game against Miami. It was his worst game, probably. 3 of 13 shooting, 0 of 5 from deep. He ended the summer very strong because he played Sacramento and scored 35 points on 11 of 24 shooting.
Right.
4 of 14 from deep, though. But he was still like, the thing that I saw from him that I wasn't necessarily expecting, or something that I wasn't, I guess, anticipating, was like there was more self-creation than I thought occurred to do. Because obviously, you know, he's playing behind Cooper, who we'll talk about a little bit. He's playing behind Knipple. He's playing alongside Malawach. And so a lot of what he was doing at Duke was like, all right, he was like a glue guy, plug and play, 3 and D. Like, he's not going to have the ball a ton. There's some, like, there was some secondary creation there, but there wasn't a ton. A lot of it was like, you know, spotting up from deep, being, you know, a solid team defender, that kind of role that he had, right, being kind of that connective tissue. And one of the lone veterans on that team. Like, that team was like very freshman heavy, very young. And he was one of the few veterans that was on that team, and he knew how to play a role. But in summer league, it felt like there was more usage. There was more on ball usage. There was more self-creation. Like, obviously it wasn't perfect. There was some facilitating chops there. I know he only averaged roughly 4 assists per game, so it wasn't like a crazy amount of assists, but, you know, right, he was making some good passes, some good reads out of the pick and roll. You know, he had some, he was using like an array of combos to get to the rim and get down. You know, obviously the burst, I don't think is great. Like, the athleticism isn't great, right, but there was more self-creation juice there than I would have expected from him heading into summer league. The defense was solid too. Like, it wasn't like anything like outstanding or anything like that. In an NBA context, I still have questions about his defense, as well as questions about how much he's going to self-create. But I think his fit in Cleveland is like kind of it's going to be a lot closer to what it was at Duke. Like, he's going to be playing off of Garland. Now that Ty Jerome's no longer there, he might, you know, he's going to be playing off of Lonzo. Like, he's,
yeah,
guys.
No,
like
that's the big one. Ty Jerome being gone is the big one. Like, that's, yeah, huge for him and his fit in Cleveland.
Yeah. But I like it a lot for him.
Yeah. No, I like it too. I had him 26th on my big board. I went back on Fanspo while you were talking and I looked it up. So I had him 26th on my big board. And for you to be able to go and get a guy like that at, you know, that late in the draft, a guy that on a Duke team where when they needed scoring, when Coop wasn't, either he was being double teamed, triple teamed, or he was on the bench, he was like their go-to guy in terms of when they needed a big bucket, they went to Tyrese Proctor and he always delivered for them. There wasn't I can't remember a time outside of the championship game where he didn't come through for him. And he showed a lot to me in terms of his defensive ability. He has a 6'7" wingspan, you know, 8.45 standing reach. His agility was good in his lane agility drills. So I think the shooting will come around in the NBA. He doesn't turn the ball over. And that's something all of the Duke guys, Con Knipple, Cooper Flagg, Tyrese Proctor, come on, Malawach. I mean, how is he going to turn the ball over? It's lobs and dunks right now for him.
Right.
None of them really turn the ball over. So you know they're going to take care of the ball. They're not going to hurt your offense. And that's why I think he could find himself a role eventually in Cleveland. Because with Ty Jerome gone, if he finds his shooting stroke like he did in college, he's respectable on the defensive end like he was in college. He doesn't need the ball. He doesn't have to have the ball in his hands to be effective. I think he could find a role sooner rather than later.
What was his... I'm trying to pull it up now. It was like, what, 38% his last year?
His three-point percentage?
Yeah.
40.5.
Okay, so I was... Okay, in my head, I was underselling a little bit.
Yeah, he was a very good three-point shooter his last year in college.
Especially in the tournament?
Yes. Absolutely. But like I said, but this was just all season long.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, there was the game early in the season where Coop was having a rough go of it. Knipple was doing his thing, but, you know, he wasn't fully given the keys like he was, you know, in the latter half of the season. But in that game, Duke's offense was getting pushed farther and further back towards half court. And when the game on the line, Proctor stepped up and hit a deep, deep triple to win that game. And so I really liked what I've seen from him. I really like the efficiency numbers, especially from deep. He doesn't really get to the foul line, but that goes back to me. You know, he doesn't need the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
And he's not a great, he doesn't have a lot of wiggle. He doesn't have a lot of burst and athleticism. Right. So, I mean, he's got to be one of those ancillary pieces, but on a team that's got a lot of star talent that needs the ball, that's exactly what you want.
I was just about to say, like, he doesn't have to, like, he's in a situation where, like, if he does what he did at Duke,
right,
that's like the perfect role for him. Like, especially as a rookie, he doesn't need to do anything crazy as a rookie. I do think, I don't know if he starts the season in the rotation, but I do think at some point he'll get minutes.
I do too.
I hope it's not like due to injury or anything like that. I know Darius, I don't remember exactly what it was, but he had off-season surgery.
Oh, I forgot to tweet out we were live, but go ahead, continue.
But he did have off-season surgery, so like maybe it might be early in the season where he's getting like some run, maybe like, you know, 15, 20 minutes a night. And again, for him, it's like he's one of the, just play a role. Play a role, be a connective piece. To your point, don't make mistakes. Like, don't make any ill-advised passes. Don't try to over-dribble because, like, his handle isn't great. And so those are, like, the little things that he's going to have to do. Just looking at it, 32% from deep as a freshman, 35.2% from deep as a sophomore, and then, like we just said, 40.5% as a junior. His free throw percentage kind of, it went the other way.
Yeah.
Albeit on low volume, 87%. As a freshman, roughly 76% as a sophomore, and then 68% as a senior or as a junior, excuse me. I think he'll still be like a fine shooter. Like, I still think he'll be like a mid to high 30s at his peak as a 3-point shooter. Like, I think maybe, I mean, it just depends on the kind of volume that he gets, but I think you're kind of looking at like a 38-39% 3-point shooter. And if you can get, you know, something close to that in his rookie season on relative volume, like, that's an awesome home run pick for Cleveland, especially at 49. Like,
oh my gosh. I mean, 49th overall picks. So a lot of time G League is their career. Like,
right.
Not a lot of them make it. And that's not a knock on them. It's just a competitive league, you know?
Well, yeah. And it's just,
it's a very competitive league. Like, we're talking about Simone Fontecchio for the Miami Heat. Like, there's this whole thing in the Five Reasons Sports Discord where some fans are like, even some analysts, like Brian Fonseca thinks, I mean, I don't want to speak for Brian. I don't want to do that because maybe there's more nuance to it than what comes over just a few lines of text. But he's like, Simone Fontecchio's not a great 3-point shooter, but he's more than that. He can do a little bit of multiple things for you. And I'm like, are we talking about the same Simone Fontecchio? Like,
he's okay.
Right. Like, international ball, yeah, maybe he's dunking on a few people in international ball. Not doing that in the league. Like, that, I remember this game for the Miami Heat when Thomas Bryant was standing under the rim, and it infuriated me to no end because Simone Fontecchio's right under the rim, blows a layup, and like barely gets his fingertips over the rim, gets another attempt at it, blows another layup, finally puts it in, and Thomas Bryant was standing there the whole time. And I'm like, really? Like, you let Simone Fontecchio do this to you? And he also went off on the Heat that game, too. It's probably why they picked him up.
Heat legend, Thomas Bryant.
Heat legend, that's right. Anyway, we've got more exciting things to talk about than Thomas Bryant, Simone Fontecchio. And I want to get right into it. Now, it does seem like eons ago, I was in Las Vegas. I was in the Thomas and Mack Center. It wasn't the Pavilion. I would have loved to see Coop in that little intimate gym in the Pavilion. That would have been phenomenal. But he was in the Thomas and Mack, and it was close enough. There's not a bad seat in the house in the Thomas and Mack Center, by the way. I know your Nevada bias is strong, but man, they have a great venue.
Oh, they do.
Las Vegas. It's a great venue.
I would do it, but I'm the bigger and better man.
Oh, he's maturing before our eyes.
For at least for today. At least for today. I'll be in Vegas in a couple weeks, and I'll probably say how much I hate Las Vegas.
That's right.
University, not the city.
There you go.
No, actually,
let him have it, Matt.
I don't hate you, Novi, but sometimes maybe.
But sometimes maybe he does.
they have our cannon. Anyway, Coop, I thought, was very good, especially in that second game. He only played two summer league games. Right. It really wasn't. I mean, I understand why, but it really wasn't worthwhile that he played a third. We saw all what we needed to see from him in that game against San Antonio, where he had 31 points on 10 of 21 shooting, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block. I even thought there were moments against the Lakers. Like, I know that kind of blew up.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage. Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Because that was his first summer league game. It was against Bronny James. It had
that actually cracked me up. That people blew that up. Like, that actually cracked me up. But continue.
But just the part, because I was like, I actually thought there were some good moments from him
right
in that game. It's just the efficiency, the 10 points on 5 of 21 shooting kind of hit everyone's radar. And it's just like, I get it. Like, that's, you're the number one pick. You have all this hype. Something like, I get it. I understand why people do it, but. He finished, 21 points average in summer league. Obviously the shooting numbers weren't great because of that first game, 36%, 21% from deep, but, he was excellent in that second game. Just the thing with him, like how dynamic he is as an offensive player, all the different ways that he can score, all the different ways he can impact a game when he's not necessarily scoring the ball too, like his rebounding. He's just such a smart, like, I understand there's times where like he'll throw an errant pass or whatever the case is, or it'll be like what we talked about with Jokićonis, in the sense that like he would expect someone to be there and they weren't necessarily there yet. Like, he only had 3 turnovers in summer league, but just over time you've seen that from him at very sporadic points. But he's such a good playmaker. He's super smart. He knows where to be on the court at all times. Defensively, his instincts, just out of this world, man. Like, him instinctually at 18 years old is insane.
Oh, it's unreal. The amount of ground he covers too with that wingspan on the defensive end is just a sight to behold. Like, he can be literally everywhere at times, from the top of the key, weak side help. He covers a lot of ground. Switchable defender. But I want to talk about that San Antonio Spurs game, because it was against Dylan Harper and Carter Bryant. You talk about live and in person, you could see the defensive ball pressure. Holy cow, man. They were putting on some ball pressure. Those two guys are some dogs, man. They can get after it. But the thing I liked about Cooper Flagg, he could have been like, I'm the first round pick. I don't need this crap. Could have sulked. Could have got mad. Could have got angry. That dude just put his head down and worked and worked and worked.
He's super competitive.
Oh, super. And not just... But there's a difference between just being competitive but being composed.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's a silent killer.
Oh my God. The dude just never got rattled. Like, yeah. I'm telling you, like, for somebody that's been the best player their whole life, no matter what level they've been on, to come into a gym and get harassed at half court and beyond the way he was, he could have got frustrated. He could have got angry. No, my man just kept working, and he kept going at Carter Bryant. He kept going at Dylan Harper. And eventually, when you hit a stone enough times, what happens? Eventually, it's going to crack.
It's going to break.
Yeah, man. And he broke through, and he went off. It was super impressive. And that gym was rocking in Las Vegas. I mean, the folks were excited. People came from all over. I mean, the first day I went, walked up to the front of the building, a little bit around the side. It was a little bit.
Yeah.
That second day when Coop was playing, that line was woo all the way. That thing was long, dude. I didn't have any media credentials. Five Reasons Sports next year. I didn't have any media credentials, so it was tough getting in there. That against that Coop game, it was waiting. And then it was cool because I was with this older gentleman, and he was telling me all about the San Antonio Spurs, diehard Spurs guy. He's the one that told me about David Jones Garcia. He was like, yeah, you got to watch that guy. I was like, oh, okay. And then I was like, oh, yep. I see what you're talking about. So yeah.
G League legend,
David Jones Garcia. But yeah, man, Cooper Flagg, that kid's a competitor. I can't wait to see what he does. He knows, I keep saying, I didn't lock my door. So I did a little baby. Give me a second. Matt, what do you think about Rookie of the Year, Trey Johnson versus Cooper Flagg?
I mean, I think there's a pathway for both players to win it. Coop's already the heavy favorite, and if he gets, they don't have the 65 game minimum for rookies and Rookie of the Year and all rookie team and stuff like that. I think that's the only award that doesn't, you know, follow those classifications. But if he plays 65 games, you know, averages 20 points, 6 or 7 rebounds, maybe a steal, maybe a block, something like that, a couple of assists, I think he'll probably win it. Just because I think he's like, again, he's the next up in terms of, you know, being this, I'm not going to say face of the league. I'm not going to do it. I just said it in a second.
Oh my God. You already put face of the league on the game.
But I'm saying like, he's entered the NBA as the next like star.
You should have just said he's the next LeBron James. Like,
no,
stood on it.
He's on his own. He's his own player.
Exactly. He's his own player. He is Cooper Flagg.
Yeah, but he's entering the NBA as like this next star talent. You know, he played with the select team. He was the best player on the select team, like all that stuff. He's 18 years old. He hasn't even touched the surface of what he is as a basketball player, as an athlete yet, which is, again, just mind-blowing to think about. But I think if he, you know, again, plays 60, 65 games or close to that, at the level that he played in summer, like he's gonna win Rookie of the Year. But there's obviously a world where like Trey Johnson or, you know, Knipple or someone like that, you know.
I actually don't see a world Knipple does. The only way I see I don't think he's gonna get enough usage.
Me neither, but like LaMelo Ball's played like 5 games in 3 years.
That's
so true. Like,
that's a good point.
So like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's a good point.
I'm just throwing it because, again, he was a, you know, top 5 pick, but like,
well, but here, let me give you my reason for Trey. Why I see there's more plausible reason for Trey over Coop, or not over Coop, but he's the only one I can really see competing in that tier because there is no second guy for what he does. Like, there's going to be nobody competing to take away his touches, even as a rookie. Like, they shipped Jordan Poole out because they already were like, nah, we're not going to have you taking touches away from this kid and his growth and development. So if he does what I think he's capable of doing, I think he can make it a very competitive Rookie of the Year race. And I, I think there's a world where it could happen.
My one counter to that is, are we sure that CJ McCollum and Chris Middleton won't at the start?
Chris Middleton, is he going to be healthy?
That's why.
How many games did he play last year?
That's why I prefaced at the start.
Yeah, at the start. That's a good. That was a good caveat by you. I mean, it's possible, but even off the bench, he's going to play a lot of minutes. Even if he came off the bench.
He should be, or at least he should be.
And his role is going to be shoot the darn thing. Like, he's going to be a focal point no matter what, whether it's in the starting group or off the bench. Ryan says usage versus efficiency. And you mean Cooper's efficiency versus Trey Johnson's efficiency? I need you to clarify that, Ryan.
Dylan Harper, I think, and also...
Dylan? Well, but Victor Wembanyama is going to make that a lot tougher for him to come into that conversation. Because...
Yes, but he's still going to have a ton of ball handling stuff. At least I think they're going to put that on
his plate. Castle is going to have a ton of it, too. So, like, do you see what I mean? Even though he's going to be very good, he's an excellent talent, number two overall draft pick, he's got a lot of people taking away from his bites at the apple.
He does.
I don't see Trey Johnson really having that many bites. And based on his maturity and his leadership traits, I think by the time the season rolls around, all those guys, those young players, they're going to be looking up to Trey. I really think they're going to look to him for his leadership because he's a natural born leader.
Chris Middleton's going to be looking up to Trey Johnson.
Well, not Chris Middleton. I mean, he might be looking up to Trey Johnson from the bench. Because he's in street clothes.
Oh, look at that. I also want to throw VJ in, but he's been injured most of the offseason. So
yeah, it's not a great start. But I mean,
Ace Bailey, anyone? Okay.
No. Listen, Ace is a talent. Ace is definitely a talent. But that's as far as I'm about to go with Ace for Rookie of the Year. I just don't see a world where he is as successful as he thinks he is in his first season. Because he believes, based on everything he's saying, like he's the best player in the entire draft. Like he doesn't have anything to prove. He doesn't have anything to work on. His game is complete. I don't like hearing that from a rookie.
It's going to be a real shame when both Cooper Flagg and Trey Johnson finish behind Nick Clifford. All right, that's enough for today's show. Doug, I'm just kidding.
I mean, the Nevada bias could not be held back the whole show, man. It's finally come
Mountain
out.
West,
the Mountain
bias,
West,
not
the Mountain
bias.
West Conference. Sorry, we know no, Nevada doesn't have high level enough players to be in this conversation.
If you want Nevada bias, I'll just say Kobe Sanders wins Rookie of the Year on a 2-way contract.
That's right, Kobe Sanders.
Yeah,
actually, but I like Kobe, man. I liked his game from what I saw. Now that
Kawhi Leonard may have his contract terminated by the league.
That's right.
After what they found today, or
Kobe Sanders to the rescue.
Yeah, Kobe Sanders is going to be prime for 25 minutes per game with the Clippers.
That's right. 28% usage. Ryan says, Flag, I'm guessing, is more efficient with less usage versus some rookies on garbage teams. I have
that
to disagree. Well, but I have to disagree with that in terms of Trey.
Oh, like, yeah, that's fair.
Trey's a very efficient shooter. He doesn't. There's not a lot of wasted opportunities from Trey, and I think Coop's going to get a lot of usage. I think his usage is going like Trey's usage, Cooper Flagg's usage, and Dylan's is going to be very similar. Now, they may be tasked to do different things because they're on, you know, one's got Victor Wembanyama and Steph Castle. So I think they may be doing a few different things. He's going to have to sacrifice some of his game.
Coop is also going to have to play a lot. Like, there's such a weird roster with Gafford.
Oh, their roster construction
Lively is bad. With Anthony Davis. Like, so many players. The deepest front court in the league.
Is he going to play point guard?
Handling the basketball.
No. You just put Cooper Flagg at point at that point. You just let him bring it up.
Right, yeah.
Oh, man.
Point Coop.
Point Coop. aggregate it. Matt's called him LeBron James and Point Coop all in one episode.
I called Nick Clifford LeBron James. But
that's right. You did call Nick Clifford.
That's besides the point. That's besides the point.
that, no, I mean, just,
you, don't please, you're Nick, please no one actually aggregate that. Like, come on.
Yeah, he doesn't really believe it. It's a bit, guys. It's a bit. Unless you ask him off camera, then he really
believes yeah, unless, yeah. Unless I just watch a Kings game and I'm like, this guy actually might be it. He might be 23.
He might be it. The new 23? Are you putting a Michael Jordan tag on him?
You can interpret that however you want. You can interpret that however you want.
Oh my God, guys.
He might be 5, but he's 23 in everyone else's heart.
That's right. Well, at least in your heart. Like yours.
Yeah, yeah. Like that's all right. We'll talk about the Kings in like what? Like 5 weeks?
That's right. 5 weeks when the season's already started, we'll get to the Kings. But that's really it for us today, guys. We appreciate you stopping by. We're trying to continue to make this work. Like I said, we're in the off season, so things are a little in flux. Don't forget to like and subscribe. We'll see you next time. Oh, actually, Matt, where can people find you, follow, and get more of your work?
At @NPH_824_ on Twitter. You can find me at hothoops.com, mountainwestconnection.com, vendettasportsmedia.com, as well as playback.tv/5RSN and playback.tv/digitaladelehoops, which we are at right now.
Right,
that is always a mouthful. Yes.
Are you saying I need to change the name of the channel again?
No, I'm saying I need to, I don't know. I don't know how to condense that.
I mean,
I need to get better at talking. That's my point.
You could start by condensing your Twitter handle.
Yeah.
Get rid of the Pythagorean theorem.
That takes up half of what I say.
Exactly. Exactly. You got to put brackets and parentheses and underscores. And eventually you'll use the FOIL method at some point as well.
Yeah. Eventually you use the quadratic formula to figure out
that's right.
My Twitter handle.
That's right. But for me, I'm Digital Adele. You can find me on all social media platforms under that moniker. Our podcast, which you're listening to and watching right now, Digital Adele Hoops. And then on Instagram, it's a little different. There's a little underscore in the middle. So digital_Adele. But that's how you find me. Thank you guys again. We'll see you next time.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.